You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There's going to be a good amount of Tennessee football talk on today's show. We'll get a little basketball in as well with Tennessee's men's basketball team getting ready for a very important game at LSU coming up on Saturday. Coming up in the first segment of today's show, Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN weighs in on Tennessee's talent. Is there more help on the way based on what Mel Kiper sees? What does he think about the level of talent that Jeremy Pruitt is bringing in to Knoxville? You'll hear that coming up in just a moment, and I'll look ahead a little bit to the level of talent that Tennessee should have from an experience standpoint in 2019. In segment number two, I'll answer a few mailbag questions about Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball as well. Tennessee has not had the best week with the loss against Kentucky and kind of a lackluster showing against a winless Vanderbilt in the SEC on Tuesday night. Are there any red flags? We'll get to that in segment number two. And then in segment number three, an important health update on one of Tennessee's top rivals in SEC basketball and Grant Williams' NBA draft stock. Is it continuing to climb? You'll hear that coming up a little bit later on Locked On Vols. It's your team every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, today presented by LearningRx Knoxville. The NFL draft is coming up here in a few months in Nashville, and it's not expected that Tennessee will have anybody drafted. There could be a player or two drafted. Kyle Phillips and Shai Tuttle are two names for sure that will at least be mentioned with NFL teams. But right now, it's as likely that they are offered camp invitations as free agents as much as being drafted. No Tennessee players were invited to the NFL draft combine. So the question first is why? Why is Tennessee in this kind of position? And then after that, what about what Tennessee has right now? What does the future look like from an NFL standpoint? The more players you have that NFL teams want, the more overall talent you probably have. The question was raised to ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. during a conference call on Wednesday. What do you see from Tennessee? Why are they in this kind of position? And what do you make of Tennessee moving forward? Listen to what Mel Kiper Jr. said about Tennessee.
I think Jeremy Pruitt, the recruiting class coming in this year, is outstanding. Keep in mind, there was a player, Preston Williams, who was there at Tennessee and then left to go to Colorado State. And Preston Williams probably will be a second-round draft choice. Had a phenomenal year at Colorado State. I think he's the third or fourth best receiver in this draft class. So you kind of, you add him and then he ended up at Colorado State, but he was at Tennessee for a two-year period. But I think it'll change now with these recruits that are coming. And it's all tied to that. The recruits that are coming in are going to get back to the Tennessee having a lot of early round picks. This year could go another year, but right now nobody early the mid round that has that type of grade. I can go a little deeper in terms of guys could be free agents or late rounders, but nobody early to mid from Tennessee this year. But I think that will change in a not too distant future.
Mel Kiper Jr. looks at the level of talent that Jeremy Pruitt is bringing in to Tennessee and expects that to be something to watch in the future with early round draft picks. And there is, of course, a lot of work that goes into making sure that happens. Players like Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris on the offensive line at linebacker, Henry Tuoto and Quavaris Crouch, somebody like Jalen McCullough at safety, all of those guys are very highly touted recruits and players that project over the next few years as they develop, as they go through a college program, to be potential high round draft picks. Those are all ifs right now because that 2015 class had a bunch of guys, including Preston Williams, who Mel Kiper Jr. was talking about, that projected to be the same. And it has worked out for Williams, just with him going to Colorado State after transferring from Tennessee. But in that class, Drew Richmond looked like a surefire future NFL player. And maybe he still becomes one, but he's going to spend his senior season elsewhere. Shai Tuttle and Kyle Phillips look like guys that were absolutely destined to go to the NFL, and it still could work out for them, but because of injuries that they've dealt with, I don't think they were ever really able to reach their potential. There were other players in that class that for different reasons weren't able to. Jack Jones and Chance Hall along the offensive line ended up having to retire early from football because of injuries. Vinzel Bulware could be an NFL player in this 2019 draft. He's a former Tennessee player, but he transferred to Miami this past year. So a number of things happened. Tennessee is hoping those issues don't occur at Tennessee moving forward. What about some of the veteran talent that Tennessee has? We're a few years away from Morris and Darnell Wright and that group to even be eligible for the NFL draft. What about players who are coming back for the 2019 season at Tennessee? I think this time next year we'll be talking about a number of players who at least have a chance to be drafted. The first player that comes to mind for me is outside linebacker Darrell Taylor. He's a guy that if he had decided to go pro early, he would have impressed a lot of NFL teams with his physical talent, his athletic ability. Him coming back for his senior year will give Darrell a chance to improve even more on the field, and he'll still kill it in workouts next year. If he takes another step as a football player, if his pass rush skills continue to improve, well, he's a guy that'll be at the combine and will have a chance to be drafted maybe fairly highly in the draft next year. I think Dominique Wood Anderson will be a player to pay attention to if he continues to improve at tight end for Tennessee. Jim Chaney's had success coaching that position in the past. Isaac Nauta just went pro early at Georgia, having been coached by Jim Chaney the last few years. Michael Rivera is a former JUCO tight end at Tennessee who went on to play for several years in the NFL after playing in a Jim Chaney offense. And then there are other players like Marquez Callaway who will get a shot in the NFL. Juwan Jennings could. He's a guy that I don't think he's the explosive athlete that NFL teams look for, but if he has a productive senior year and his medical evaluations are okay, he could have a shot in the NFL. And then other players, let's see at least. Darren Kirkland Jr., again, there's the medical evaluation to pay attention to. What kind of progress does Daniel Batuli make? Baylen Buchanan, Emmett Gooden, and now that he's going to have a bigger role on the defensive line at Tennessee. Ty Chandler, if he has a big junior season, would he jump to the NFL? Tennessee is still not where it wants to be with NFL-ready talent, or at least heading into their final season, guys projected to be big-time NFL prospects. But I think 2019 will be better, and then 2020 and 21 should absolutely be better for Tennessee. Nigel Warrior, he's another guy heading into his senior season that hopes to have a big year for Tennessee. When he arrived in 2016, I think there was a lot of talk that he could be a three-year and done guy at Tennessee. It has not worked out that way. Let's see what he does in his final season with the Vols. Interesting comments, though, from Mel Kiper Jr., as he has already looked at the level of talent that Jeremy Pruitt has recruited in his short time at Tennessee, and Mel Kiper Jr. sees a bright future for Tennessee. That's why Craig Fitzgerald staying as the strength and conditioning coach matters. That's why Tennessee's coaching staff coming together, being good teachers on the field. That's something Jeremy Pruitt talked about the other day, and you'll hear him a little bit later in the show expound on that. That's important for Tennessee's future, bringing in this talent, but also developing this talent. Coming up in segment number three, an update on Kentucky forward Reed Travis. You'll hear about that, as well as a very interesting evaluation of Grant Williams as an NBA prospect. You're going to want to hear that. That's coming up in the third segment. Coming up next, I'll answer a few of your questions. Questions about a Tennessee linebacker that maybe is not getting enough attention right now, and Tennessee basketball. Are there any red flags going up right now? I'll get to that coming up next on Locked On Vols. It's here 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps, and your smart speaker. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has. It's Locked On Vols, your team every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is mailbag time here on Locked On Vols. I have three questions to get to, a mix of Tennessee football, men's basketball, and Lady Vols here in this segment of Locked On Vols. And we'll start with football. We'll continue that before we transition to hoops. And Steven sent in a question about Tennessee's linebackers. Henry To'oto and Quavarius Crouch are getting a lot of attention right now as recent signees, and they should be getting attention. Those are really talented players who will both have a chance to help UT right away. But Steven's question was about J.J. Peterson. Is he getting enough talk, and what could he be capable of in Tennessee's defense this year? And I think that might be a fair question. Now, when we get to spring practice here in a few weeks, it will begin March 7th. I think a lot of eyes are going to be on J.J. Peterson. Number one, to see what he looks like. When J.J. arrived at Tennessee back in the fall, he was clearly out of shape, and nobody hid from that fact. Jeremy Pruitt said he's not ready to play physically and mentally, he had a lot of catching up to do because he did not go through summer workouts or fall camp in August. But also physically, he needed to get in better shape. By the time Tennessee hits the practice field here in a few weeks, JJ will have had plenty of time to get in better shape, and also he will have benefited from going through practice during the fall and actually getting some game action on special teams. I think JJ Peterson will be expected by Tennessee's coaching staff to make a big impact at linebacker. He was a U.S. Army All-American in the 2018 class. He was really the prized get by Tennessee on signing day a year ago, and at the time, the expectation was that he could come in and help Tennessee immediately. Jeremy Pruitt in the past has talked about J.J. Peterson's ability to play all four linebacker positions. He could play inside linebacker. He could play on the outside. Tennessee is going to be looking for pass rush help, and J.J. will be a candidate to help Tennessee there. But to your question, is there enough talk or should there be more about J.J. Peterson? Yes, I would say so, but I think he's part of the entire conversation. It's about Daniel Betulli and Darren Kirkland Jr. coming back. What is he going to be capable of? Talking about Kirkland, because physically I just don't think he is where he was when he was a freshman at Tennessee before he had dealt with the knee and ankle injuries that have affected him the past few years. And David Ubben mentioned on yesterday's show, and I would agree, that Kirkland may have been playing a little bit too much. With Peterson, let's see what happens with Jeremy Banks. He's another player to pay attention to at linebacker. Does he stick at that position, or does he go back to running back? And then Quavarius Crouch and Henry Tuoto, let's see what happens there. Let's see how deep they can be. And on the outside, how does DeAndre Johnson perform, Jordan Allen? That's going to be a factor, but no doubt, at the very least, Tennessee's coaches are going to expect J.J. Peterson to compete with all of those guys I just mentioned. Stephen, thanks a lot for the question. The next question comes from Jeff, who asked on Twitter, should red flags be going up because of the recent performances by Tennessee's basketball team? Tennessee, of course, looked very bad against Kentucky on Saturday, and it wasn't the best showing, at least offensively, against Vanderbilt on Tuesday, but Tennessee's defense was better, and part of that was Vanderbilt offensively had some issues. Vanderbilt missed some shots where if they go in, we might have been having a different conversation on Tuesday night. So there is the story from both sides. But Rick Barnes seemed overall pretty happy with how Tennessee played on Tuesday. Leading up to Kentucky, though, it wasn't the best showing against South Carolina last week. The Gamecocks hit 14 threes in that game. And against Missouri and Florida, there were issues at times, while Tennessee also was never really in danger of losing those games. But coming off the loss against Kentucky, there was the question, would Tennessee have a hangover from that game? And then also, would Tennessee respond and come out and play really well because of the motivation from losing the game? And the reality was probably in the middle somewhere in that. But that question was posed to Rick Barnes after the Vanderbilt game Tuesday night. Was there any effect on Tennessee's basketball team from losing to Kentucky and also losing the number one ranking? Here's what Rick Barnes said to that question.
If I would have thought the guys hadn't done what they did the last 2 days, I could. But again, they did the right things. They came in. They went at each other hard. Competed yesterday, very, very hard. Sometimes you go through some shooting woes with it, but I don't think the shooting part had anything to do with it. I just thought we were tentative because some of the things that we wanted to correct, we overdid it tonight. Making the extra pass and doing some things, and you can't hesitate. You really can. And then we had to lead up there, and then we had, in the first half, we had three really bad possessions where we had three straight turnovers, and that's going to hurt you at any point in time. But, I don't think so with the way that their last 2 days, the way they approached it. I thought Jordan Bone had one of the great quotes. I've been around a guy after the first question I asked him Sunday afternoon was, how do you guys feel? And Jordan Bone said, I'm excited to get to practice and know that we can get better and we have to get better. And when we did go on the floor yesterday, they went at it. And so I was pleased with that. And you go into games, you never know how you're going to shoot the ball. You want to shoot it well, but as long as we stay with the scout report, and we weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but overall we defended pretty well.
So Rick Barnes seems to feel pretty comfortable with the approach his team is taking. The comment that he mentioned from Jordan Bone, he had also mentioned that on Monday. That, I believe, is giving Rick Barnes confidence that his team is going to respond here. teams don't play perfectly all the way through the months of January and February. You hope to be playing your best basketball in March, and you don't want any dips. The game coming up on Saturday against LSU is an important one. Tennessee needs to play well in that game. If Tennessee plays on Saturday like it did Tuesday night, Tennessee should not expect to win the game against LSU. But let's see how Tennessee plays. To the question, should red flags be going up? I don't think so right now. It's obviously worth monitoring. And this next 2.5 week stretch is going to be really important, because not only is the LSU game big, but going to Ole Miss is going to be difficult. Playing Kentucky, of course, is going to be a challenge for Tennessee. And then that final week, hosting Mississippi State and going to Auburn to close out the regular season, is going to be really tough. There are no breaks the rest of the way for Tennessee. Tennessee needs to be ready. My guess is that Tennessee will be ready. And that doesn't mean the Vols are going to win every game the rest of the way. It's, again, going to be really difficult. But I like Tennessee's chances as much as I like LSU and Kentucky's chances over the next couple of weeks. Jeff, thank you for the question. The final question today comes from Russell on Facebook. And Russell asked if I might discuss the Lady Vols situation and their issues here in SEC play. Tennessee has not had the season that it expected to have. It wasn't that long ago that the Lady Vols were ranked in the top 10. Now Tennessee is in danger of missing the NCAA tournament, which seems like an impossible conversation to have when it comes to Lady Vols basketball. Right now, Tennessee is 17-8 overall, but just 6-6 in SEC play. The Lady Vols play at Texas A&M tonight. Texas A&M is tied for third in the SEC. The Lady Vols are tied for seventh in the conference. Tennessee will finish up with A&M tonight, South Carolina and Vanderbilt at home, and then Ole Miss on the road. A&M and South Carolina are two of the best teams in the SEC. Vandy and Ole Miss are two of the worst teams in the SEC. I don't know if Tennessee makes the NCAA tournament. If the Lady Vols fall short, if they don't make the NCAA tournament, it is almost impossible to believe Holly Warlick is coaching Tennessee next year. If the Lady Vols make the NCAA tournament but bow out early, go out in the first or second round, then I would say it's still difficult to believe Holly Warlick is Tennessee's coach next season. A run to the Sweet 16 or beyond, well, I think the conversation absolutely changes in Holly Warlick's favor. Remember, she did receive a contract extension last summer from Philip Fulmer. But the Lady Vols have big-time expectations. And after putting a run together to be in the top 10 to start SEC play, to now be in this kind of position where the conversation currently is, will the Lady Vols make the NCAA tournament? I don't know what Tennessee's future is. Part of Russell's question was, what are the options there for Tennessee? And I don't know. I don't know if Holly Warlick is going to be back as Tennessee's coach, and I certainly right now don't know what options would be there if she doesn't return. But I do think there's a good chance she's coaching for her job, and tonight's game and the next 2 weeks leading up to the SEC tournament will be really important for Tennessee and for Holly Warlick and her future with the Lady Vols. So coming up tonight, 9 o'clock, the Lady Vols playing at Texas A&M. It's an important one for Tennessee. Russell, thanks for the question. Remember, if you ever want to send me a question or comment for the show, you can reach me on Twitter at @Josh_Ward and on Facebook, facebook.com/Josh Ward. That's my Facebook page. If you want to send me a question or comment, feel free to do so anytime. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, last night was very interesting in college basketball and a pretty incredible evaluation of Grant Williams as an NBA prospect. I'll tell you about that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And today it's presented by LearningRx Knoxville, which is located on North Shore Drive. And if you go to the website learningrx.com/Knoxville, you can find out how LearningRx can help the person in your life who might need some help. If you have someone who has struggled with dyslexia and reading or attention deficit issues or memory issues, LearningRx can help people of any age. If you have a child that's in need, then you need to check out LearningRx and what their one-on-one brain training can do for the person you're hoping to help. At LearningRx, it starts with a cognitive assessment. They will figure out what the issues are, why they are there, and then how best to attack them, how best to strengthen those cognitive skills that might need help. You can find help from LearningRx. Go online, learningrx.com/Knoxville, or call. Schedule a cognitive assessment by dialing 865-246-6326. Learn easier, think faster, perform better, find help from LearningRx Knoxville.
So last night in college basketball, things got pretty interesting. First of all, on the floor, Florida beat LSU in overtime. That's pretty significant news for Tennessee. With the Vols getting ready to play LSU on Saturday, it remains a very important game. Nothing changes there. But with LSU losing that game, Tennessee returns to sole possession of first place in the SEC. Tennessee only has one loss in conference play. Kentucky and LSU have two losses apiece. If Tennessee can win Saturday, the Vols would have a two-game edge on LSU with the head-to-head tiebreaker. The following week, Tennessee plays Kentucky. Those are not the only two important games remaining. Tennessee also has to go to Ole Miss. Tennessee has a home game against Mississippi State and a road game at Auburn. It's a challenge ahead for Tennessee. But right now, Tennessee has the advantage in the standings. If it can get wins against LSU and Kentucky, well, that means at least three losses for both of those schools and some wiggle room for Tennessee in trying to win an SEC championship. So Saturday remains important because if Tennessee loses to LSU, well, you're tied there with the Tigers, and they would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. And I would also say that LSU has a more manageable schedule remaining. LSU doesn't have to play Kentucky again. So Saturday remains very important, but it can also be kind of a knockout punch for Tennessee almost if it beats LSU on Saturday. So we had that in the SEC. In the ACC last night, Duke went down against North Carolina, and it was after Zion Williamson went down 36 seconds into the game. He suffered a mild knee sprain, according to Mike Krzyzewski. Zion did not return to the game, a game that had a huge buildup, expensive tickets, and a ton of coverage. And in the end, North Carolina wins 88-72 with Zion out. Obviously, that was a big blow to the Blue Devils. So what that means for Duke is a big question moving forward. When does Zion return? Does he return? If he doesn't come back, well, then Duke's nowhere near the same basketball team. I think that was shown last night. So that's something to pay attention to. And then Kentucky announced last night that senior forward Reed Travis is expected to miss at least 2 weeks after spraining his right knee in Tuesday's win at Missouri. That means he's going to miss next Saturday's game in Knoxville against Tennessee. The statement from Kentucky says that they are hoping to have him back for the SEC tournament, possibly sooner, but if he is going to miss at least 2 weeks, he will miss the Tennessee game coming up next Saturday. So that is big news, and that would obviously have a major impact on Kentucky. Now, they have talented big men behind Reed Travis, but they are better off with him than without him. This past Saturday against Tennessee shows that. So big news there with Kentucky, and that will be worth monitoring over the next couple of weeks. But right now, Kentucky says Reed Travis will not be in Knoxville when the Wildcats come here to play Tennessee.
Before I close out today's show, with Tennessee's basketball team, one of the talking points over the last several weeks, last couple of months, has been Grant Williams' decision at the end of the season. At the beginning of the year, there was very little talk about Grant Williams as an NBA prospect. That has changed. A number of publications, including ESPN and The Athletic, have put Grant in the first round of their mock drafts. He's typically been listed somewhere in the mid-20s, so kind of borderline first round, early second round as an NBA prospect. TheRinger.com, which is run by Bill Simmons, put out the first big board for the NBA draft lottery on Wednesday. So the top 14 prospects in the draft, according to The Ringer, Danny Chow, Kevin O'Connor, and Jonathan Charks put the list together. Grant Williams comes in at number 9. I did not see that coming. Jonathan Charks wrote a little bit about Grant Williams, and here's what he said. Quote, Williams would have been considered a tweener a decade ago. At 6'7" and 236 pounds, he would have been an undersized power forward without a clear position in the NBA. That is not an issue anymore. Williams has been one of the best players in college basketball this season while leading Tennessee to a 24-2 record, and everything that he is doing should translate immediately to a more positionless NBA game. Think P.J. Tucker with a more well-rounded offensive game. Charks went on to write about Williams' ability to improve each season at Tennessee and how his three-point shot will probably develop at the NBA level, with Charks finishing out saying that Williams will probably figure it out at the NBA level. Now, I don't know that NBA teams view Grant as a top 10 pick. That's the highest I've seen anybody rate Grant among NBA prospects. That would obviously give him something to think about if NBA teams do view Grant at that level as a potential top 10 pick or a lottery pick. Time will tell, and let's see how Grant plays over the next few weeks. I would also expect, no matter what, at the end of the season, that Grant will go through the NBA evaluation process just like Admiral Schofield did after last season. Now, Admiral at no point received a first-round assurance, so he obviously came back for his senior year. It could be a different story for Grant Williams. I don't think that should be the focus right now. I don't think that's Grant's focus at all right now. I think his focus is on this season for Tennessee. But the NBA talk's not going to go away. If anything, it might heat up moving forward. Very interesting. You can read that story at theringer.com if you like to. Thanks so much for hanging out here today. Coming up on tomorrow's show, a big preview of Tennessee and LSU. The Vols on the road in Baton Rouge. I'll take a look at the matchup tomorrow. It will be a very important game for Tennessee as it's trying to win another SEC championship. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week talking about what's going on with Tennessee. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks for hanging out today, and I'll see you here tomorrow.